And we are live on Discovery Paranormal. I have some news for you. Somebody bought the Conjuring House, right? And I follow these things loosely because some of the places, I know that they have history, very negative history, as a matter of fact, where, you know, people have suffered and died in many cases. If you look at the Amityville Horror House, which we talked about recently on the show, you know, it's another situation where there was a mass murder there, right? You know, you can't take an eraser and erase that type of vibe. The only thing you can really do is stay away from that type of energy if you can't handle it. It's not Disneyland. It's not something for people to play with. It's not something that you want to take children in the middle of a situation like that or whatever. You're talking about a very dense, low vibration of energy. You know, anybody in the paranormal field, any serious people in the paranormal field, not the ones, you know, you see a lot of people on TV. You see a lot of people, ghost adventure types and whatever. They need to sensationalize because they have advertisers. They need to sell. They go on there. I don't see any evidence on those shows. I really don't watch them, you know, but I look for evidence. I look to see what they produce. And now I won't toot my own horn, but I will. Because if you look at my shows, the ones I make, there's tons of evidence, plenty. Pictures, video, shadow figures, whatever, oh, you name it, a whole full body apparitions, man. We don't make that up. We don't conjure that up. This is the real deal. And this is why I got into it to begin with, to understand more about the afterlife, you know, really. That was my own personal part of it, to understand more. And I see these, you know, any of these horror movies, I don't watch a lot of, I don't watch any of the paranormal horror movies. I think that they're just so, like, ridiculously, I don't know. Some of them are just ridiculously stupid, but a lot of them are just, you know, not interesting, not entertaining, not something I want to be part of. They really have no understanding, the people who write those movies. You know, they think that they get a couple paranormal investigators on their team that they're going to understand more about, you know, these investigations. I have met a lot of paranormal people who claim they're paranormal investigators, and you wouldn't want to ask them for advice with anything, you know, but 95% of them. There's a small percentage of people who are really knowledgeable and people who have been through different situations and worked through situations and helped many people along the path. That's more what you want to kind of go with, you know what I mean? If you need to have any questions. There are people who lie about being psychic mediums. They help the police departments. They go out there, find dead bodies and do these jobs, you know, and whatever. But then after you talk to them for a while, if you know them for a while, you realize that they don't have any ability. They can't predict anything. It comes down to me, the tangible evidence. It's like the word belief. I don't believe in the word belief. How's that? Because It's a bullcrap word. It's a bullcrap meaning. You know, people who tell me, I don't believe in COVID-19. What do you mean believe? You know, 609,000 people are dead within a year. What do you believe in? Oh, no, it's the flu. You get people that say that. It really frustrates me because it's wrong. They're wrong. It's wrong. They don't even understand what the hell they're talking about. And it just shows that. It shows you how far people are convinced by other groups who control them. These people are controlled. You understand? You got to have a mind for yourself. You got to think for yourself. You can't be under control from other people's influences, man. You know, so when it comes to belief, when the people say, I don't believe in that, it's very funny to me because belief is something that you have to invest in. You know, all right. I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to believe it, because I can't show you the tangible evidence. I can't show you the proof of this thing. I can't show you that it's real. I can only just tell you a story and want you to believe in it. That's what religion is built on, really. That's what a lot of people's false faith is based on. But if I put a hamburger in front of you, nice cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger on the grill, flame grilled, not that fast food crap either. Nice, really nice diner type of burger. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? With some onion rings on the side, with some little salad going on, and you throw the salad out and you eat the burger and the onions. That's real. It's real. You can see it. You can taste it. You can eat it. You can consume it. It'll be gone, but the memories will be there, right? It's real. It's not some story. It's not some bunk. It's not something that people ask you to believe because they're trying to sell you something. They want to sell you something. When people tell you a story, they're selling you something. They want something from you. It's the story, right? Which brings me to The Conjuring House. The Conjuring House. All right, so where do I start? I'll start at the beginning. The house that inspired The Conjuring has two fearless new owners. They say it's still haunted. Now, I've never seen the movies. I kind of, you know, you see the trailers for them here and there and whatever. It's supposed to make people scared. Apparently, a human being in some form of decay is supposed to be the scariest thing to other people. Zombies with their flesh falling off, eyeball hanging out of the socket, you know, that type of stuff. When really, you should be afraid of the people who do you harm. It's more than just a look of you know, all right, maybe if you're in a house full of demons, those demons have the influence on you, blah, 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 blah. They're going to show themselves to you in all kinds, whatever they can do to manipulate you to make you feel a certain way, right? So I'm looking at this couple right here, these two guys who bought this Conjuring House. This is the article. The Conjuring House is a real-life 18th century farmhouse of horrors in Rhode Island where seven children have died over the years. Here's the couple, Corey and Jennifer Heisen of Mexico. It may seem like, I think they're like more like Mexico, whatever. Well, maybe they're from Mexico. I don't know. It may seem like any other peaceful historic farmhouse in the quaint Rhode Island suburbs, but this actually is a notorious house of horrors from the Conjuring franchise. So, okay, it's the notorious house of horrors from the Conjuring franchise, just like the Amityville Horror House is a notorious house of horrors in the Amityville Horror House franchise. These houses are part of a legacy of business, of multi-million dollars, making money. It's all about money. Just like these two people who bought the house, it's all about money. Of course they're going to say the house is still haunted. They have no reason to say it's not haunted because they want to make money from it. They didn't just buy it to live there, right? So it's a very honest statement. Oh, the house is still haunted. Really? Really? Okay. Corey and Jennifer Heisen bought the farmhouse, formerly known as the Old Arnold Estate, in June of 2019 and have already documented several instances of paranormal activity. By the way, I looked for evidence, paranormal activity evidence. I did so many searches. I looked all around. There is no evidence, nothing that's out there. No shadow figure, no EVPs, nothing worth anything. Only stuff that appeared would be, manufactured. So like footsteps and knocks, things like that. This is their demon, footsteps and knocks, you know. Well, there's a demon here. They knocked. They said, knock, knock. And I said, who's there? And they said, demon. And I was like, oh my God, there's demons here. That's not even the joke, right? So this is their deal. Where they witnessed, these are paranormal investigators. They paint themselves as paranormal investigators, right? Here's the sentence. Luckily, the couple is well equipped to handle such happenings as they are paranormal investigators. So they claim that they're paranormal investigators. You know what it takes to be a paranormal investigator? All you got to do is say it, apparently. That's it. You don't have to produce anything, have any evidence, nothing. you are a paranormal investigator. Just like if you want to be a cowboy, you can tell there's a lot of things going on. So it's like Walmart, right? Probably not as dangerous, safe to say. He doesn't sense anything evil, but this is the house built on evil. This is the house that spawned what people tell me, several movies of Conjuring that is evil. Demons, people, you know, dolls dying, blah, blah, blah. Right? Doesn't make the house seem very friendly. The Conjuring House's storied past spans eight generations, during which residents allegedly died by drowning, murder, and hanging. The reports allegedly, right? Allegedly. So where's the police reports? Where's the report? You know, when I do a paranormal investigation, I contact the police department, ask them about the records of the location. I tell them what I'm doing too. Sometimes they laugh like idiots and hang up. Sometimes they give you information. I call the fire department too. I call the EMT. I see how far back their records go, man. You know, I mean, there's always something to find out about the address, the location, the geography, right? All right. The reports that made The Conjuring House famous. The horror franchise surrounding The Conjuring House is based around the accounts of the Perrin family, Carolyn and Roger Perrin, together with their five daughters, moved into the house during the 1970s and almost immediately reported small yet inexplicable events within the home. Now, that's typical if you move into a haunted house. A little later, months later, especially if you start doing work on the house, you know, you're fixing this, fixing that. Yeah, people start popping up. These spirits start popping up. They don't understand why you're there. They don't understand why you're in their house. They want you out, right? You're trespassing. So it wasn't long before those events escalated, right? Carolyn Perrin claimed to have noticed how the broom would move from place to place or disappear altogether. Then with five kids in the house too, by the way, I'm just saying, then she'd notice small piles of dirt in the center of a freshly swept kitchen floor. The children also said they witnessed spirits, at first, most of them harmless. Then the family said they began to experience horrendous smells that stank of rotting flesh. They said that their beds shook at 5:15 each morning. Roger Perrin would enter the basement and feel a cold, stinking presence behind him. Is that every basement? And that's good. The bed shook 5:15 in the morning. Get the kids up for school, man. And you know they're sweeping up the dirt. Sounds like these are very, very friendly ghosts. They work for you, man. Do they drive you to school? The family typically stayed away from the dirt-floored cellar, but the heating equipment would often fail mysteriously, causing Roger Perrin to venture downstairs. So the Bathsheba, the main spirit in the Conjuring House, right? Okay, the main spirit, as shown in the Conjuring, Bathsheba, was allegedly every bit as angry in real life as she was in the movie, according to the parents. Here's a picture. Here's a picture of the house inside. Here's the kitchen from the Perrin home. If I show you a kitchen picture in a ghost house, I'm going to show you a picture of a ghost, not just some room. That's lame, man. I can't even describe how lame that really is. So whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be mistress of the house, and she represented the competition or resented the competition my mother posed for that position. So there was competition between the ghost mom and the girl's mom, right? Andrea Perrin, the oldest daughter, said objects were inexplicably launched across the room and smashed into walls. Now, that goes opposite from a woman who likes to sweep up, man, you know, unless they're in some kind of emotional rage. I mean, I've seen that. Doors slammed, glass shattered. One night as Carolyn Perrin was sitting in the living room, she felt a piercing pain in her leg. Looking down, she said she saw blood trickling from a small open wound, like from a large needle. It turns out a woman named Bathsheba Sherman had actually lived on the Perrin's property in the mid-1800s. Rumor had it she practiced witchcraft. And, you know, that's going to be your first bit of trouble. Because you don't know who's practicing that witchcraft and what they're bringing in, what they are conjuring, right? But I like the story so far. I like the story, you know. I also know more about the story, what's misrepresented here, which we're going to get into. But this is very interesting. Rumor had that she practiced witchcraft. Of course she did. Of course she was an Avon lady. That doesn't scare you. Does that scare you? There's a woman who lived there in the 1800s who started selling perfume from door to door. They called her Miss Stinky. Miss Stinky. Here comes Miss Stinky. That doesn't scare you. And witchcraft. People are like, ooh. Even though I know many, 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 many hot witches, man, I have to say. But if you date a witch, don't cheat on them. That's all. That's the only advice I could give you. Rumor had it that she practiced witchcraft, and there was some evidence of her involvement in a local infant's death. Evidence? Really? There was some evidence. I love that. Many believe that Bathsheba killed the child in a satanic ritual with a large sewing needle to the brain, but she was never convicted of the crime. So, really, people who practice witchcraft don't really get into Satanism, and Satanism is a whole different thing. You know what I mean? Wicca over here, Satanism way, way, way over there. So, I'm just letting you know. It's like that. That's how witches get misrepresented, man. So many believed that, All right, so Bathsheba is consequently buried not far from the Conjuring House. His picture of her grave, Bathsheba. Love the name. Bathsheba. Wife of Judson Sherman. And he died May 20... She died. 1885. What happened to the dude? What happened to Sherman? He's got kind of a normal crappy name. If I was married to someone named Bathsheba, I'd have to call myself, like, you know, King Congo. Bathsheba. The people definitely don't want to visit your house. Don't go to that house. That's where King Congo and Bathsheba live. They practice witchcraft. And she knits. Oh my God. With needles? Yes. Absolutely. Okay, enter Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, the Warrens, very popular couple. Let me tell you something. These guys were massively criticized throughout many years, but they were really some of the first people in the paranormal field doing investigations, checking things out, going into these places, you know, trying to get evidence and whatever, or solve a situation, right? They went to the Amityville Horror House. They went to this place. They went to a bunch of places, right? So the Perrins called on paranormal experts Ed and Lorraine Warren to investigate the farmhouse and to hopefully eradicate the evil spirits within. The couple, probably the most well-known paranormal detectives in history, reported that they have investigated over 10,000 cases. Lorraine Warren, who claimed to be a clairvoyant, held a seance at the Perrin's farmhouse. The goal was to make contact with the ghosts tormenting the family. Well, goal achieved, so to speak. In the middle of the seance, Carolyn Perrin seemed to become possessed, speaking in tongues and rising chair and all into the air. Now, keep in mind, let's be an investigator. Be like me. Be an investigator. You're taking in this information for the first time. these people are asking you to believe everything that's going on, because obviously there's no, you can't see it. You weren't there. You can't feel the energy, nothing, right? And that's why when I do investigations and I put them on YouTube, I want you to feel like you're on the investigation with me and the rest of us, you know. And there are people who hear EVPs, you know, hear voices, sentences that we didn't hear, that we missed or whatever, and going over the evidence. And I love that. I love that because it shows you that, you know, my target was correct, what I want people to do. So I'm just not going to tell you, like, this is what happened, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is what happened. And I saw the door knocked and slammed and, but I'm, that's boring. I can't tell you that. And it's like asking you to believe something that you know, it's just words, hearsay. You know what I mean? So this woman, Carolyn Perrin, by the way, also wrote many books and was making a lot of money off of this house, you know, selling her books. Before she called in the Warrens, she was writing these books, right? Had a vested interest in the house being haunted, right? So speaking in tongues and rising chair. Nobody had a picture of her. Nobody had a picture. And that were even in the 70s, they had Polaroid, man. Nobody had a picture of this woman rising in a chair up in the air, right? Floating around. Oldest daughter, Andrea Perrin, watched in secret and would later describe the incident. I thought I was going to pass out, she said. My mother began to speak a language that was not in a world or a voice of her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room. With no documentation. You're going to go ahead and have a paranormal investigation and not bring one camera? You're not going to bring in a recording device? Come on, man. That's not even plausible. Right? So anyway, afterward, Carolyn Perrin seemed to return to normal, and Roger Perrin told the Warrens to leave, right? According to Andrea, the family actually stayed in the house until 1980. And that's the funny about people. If you're in a situation that's not a good situation, and if you're in a situation, oh, you know, all right, we've done cases where people got pushed down the stairs, scratched from head to toe. Yeah, doors opening, closing, and slamming. Doors that had big, long slide locks. And we have the evidence. We have the video. We had all that stuff, right? And those people didn't stay in that house. They moved out as fast as they could. They left in the middle of the night, as a matter of fact. You know? And we weren't able to get in that one particular house until 7 months later, until another couple moved in with their kids. And they started experiencing all this paranormal activity. And they didn't even know the original people that lived there. A neighbor told me that no one's lived there more than 6 months since they've lived there that 30 years. So I did the history of the house and found out that a family of five died in 1900, suffocated in the house from smoke inhalation, right? So then I understood what was going on there. Understood. And when people die, it's just like it happened just a second ago. A lot of times they don't even know they're dead. That sound crazy? All right. After this this tete-a-tete with the levitation and all that, and I've never seen anyone levitate. Never. I've seen magicians levitate people on stage. And you know how they do it, but never in a paranormal situation. And I've been in hundreds, never seen someone levitate. I've seen people, you know, get possessed, and you want to say possessed, but more influenced, where they had to ground themselves. And even then, you question who you're dealing with. Are they doing it for the camera? Are they really? Is it really happening? You know. But I can say in one case, in this place called the Taylor House, when it happened. Our psychic, who this happened to, she was trying to get out of there. And she even said, I got to get out of here. She's flipping. And there was a bunch of us. And she was running towards the staircase where this girl had been pushed over and had died. And then she almost did the same thing. And luckily, my partner, Pete, who we were doing the investigation with, was in front of those stairs. And I was off to the side, blocking the railing. And then she started going upstairs to the attic. You know, so she wasn't in her right mind. She wasn't out in her right head. And later on, she said she barely remembered the whole incident, only parts of it, right? That's when you know it's not a game, you know? It's not a game. It's not Disneyland. You're not there to have fun. It's a very specific thing. And really, we get called into these investigations because people want answers and they want help. It's not like, hey, come hang out in my house and talk to the ghost and have some fun. You know, we'll bake some brownies, you know, whatever. It doesn't come down like that. So these people lived in the house till the 1980s. This woman was writing books and books about the house and her so-called experiences. They brought in haunted dolls, for instance, you know, and try to goose the energy. If you don't say that you're afraid of the house and all this other stuff and whatever, and then you bring it in, you draw in more. We had a case like that. This guy, he ended up on who are those other guys? Those Taps guys, man. They had a new show or have a new show. I don't know if it's still on the air. It was on the Travel Channel. They invited us to be on the show. You know, Pete and I, because we did this guy's house first. The pictures I have of full body apparitions are from his apartment in Ithaca, this dude. I mean, you know, this guy had everything going on. And he had that type of energy. He attracted this type of thing, but he also liked to dabble in the dark. And we knew that. He didn't tell us that, but we knew it. You just know it. You deal with enough people in these situations. So he kept calling in all this dark stuff and stuff would be happening, you know. And then he moved into an old farmhouse that used to be a morgue and a doctor's residence. There were slaves there and people got, you know, all kinds of terrible things people had go on back then, right? And this guy's living there. And this is why those, I don't know what the hell they call it. I can't remember the name of the stupid show. It's the Taps guys, but like years later, like they just started doing that show. And then I had been contacted from their production company. Cause this guy was all, you know, he's all psyched to go on the air with these dudes. And he's like, come on, please. And come on the air. And so basically the producer contacted me and he's like, we want you to hand over all your footage, pictures, EVPs, anything you got. And we want you guys to be in the show. And I'm like, okay. And they sent me the contract. And I read it. And the contract, with one specific line, said I wasn't allowed to participate in any other ghost show or my own show for 6 months after the last airing of that episode, which could be years. It could be reruns for years. So I couldn't do it. I wasn't going to do it. And I called them and I'm like, if you redline that and take it out, we can talk about that. Then my agent's like, you know, they're not going to pay you. I wouldn't do it at all. And they weren't going to pay us. So they wanted us to go on there for free and then sign away our rights for all that time. So we couldn't do any of the shows, including my own, and hand over all of our material. Then the producer actually said, but you could meet Grant. Oh, did I laugh, man, on that. I could meet Grant. I'm like, the Roto-Rooter guy? No, my toilet's not clogged right now, and I'm not worried about that. I don't want to belittle people, but I really don't respect those guys and what they're doing because they've turned into just the sensationalist machine, even though they were one of the first, Taps was one of the first shows out there. I'm not going to take that away from them, but mainly the show, a good chunk of it was just them arguing with each other and running wires and showing people, these guys sitting in front of screens and showing these guys yawning in front of screens as they're going over evidence. When I did my show, I didn't want any of that nonsense. I just wanted to get to it. You're on the investigation with us. This is what the deal is. I shoot it in consecutive order, edit in consecutive order. You are not missing anything. Barely any edits, really. You're not missing anything. You're on the investigation with us. You know, and that's it's what the deal is. And we get results. That's the important part. We just don't walk around some building, you know, with our hands in our pockets playing pocket pool. We get results. Results, which is what you want. I'm an investigation evidence type of guy. I need to see the pictures. I need to hear the voices. I need to understand. I want to smell it. I want to be able to taste them, man. Yeah, taste the ghost. I'm going to eat them, man. Eat them up alive. They think that they're scary. Ha ha ha. So really, and I have even eaten Ghost O's cereal for breakfast. So yes, yes. Booberry it was, as a matter of fact. But I'll tell you, I don't like this. I don't like people who, and I have friends who have haunted B&Bs, but the one guy, nobody will ever go there because the place is so horrible, haunted. Like, you know, it's not like if you pay a bunch of money to stay somewhere, you want to at least have a good night's sleep, I would think, right? So not in this place. This guy's own daughter was with two of her college friends who stayed in one of the rooms, a room where one guy was beheaded, you know, and the body was left there for quite some time. They stayed in that room. They left at 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming, running out of the building. And the girl told her father she will never go back to that house, not even to the town the house is in. That's the Erie Mansion up in Clyde, New York. If you want to have that kind of experience, that's the kind of experience. It's a 12,000 square foot mansion that my friend owns. There is not a cozy space in the whole place, you know? But it's really the Ely family and their son was a serial killer, and he killed a ton of people. Bring him into the house, kill them, hookers, man, kill them, and, you know, dump him in the Erie Canal a couple blocks away when he was done. The guy was a sick person and ended up hanging himself, you know, in the basement. That's a whole of the story. Talk about Conjuring. This Conjuring house is like a sandbox. It's nothing, man. You know, I mean, I hear these stories. They're just stories. But in the Erie Mansion, we got news articles. We got stuff that happened. I mean, this is the real deal. It really happened. Amityville Horror House really happened. That dude killed his whole family. Really happened. In fact, he just died back in March. You know, I'd like to have a look into the Amityville Horror House, see what's going on there these days. Right? So, to those who don't believe their story, so here it is again. I want you to be like me. Examine the words, examine the sentence, understand where they're coming from. To those who don't believe their story, Andrea Perrin said, "People are free to believe whatever they want to believe, but I know what we experienced." Okay, people are free to believe whatever they want to believe. No, that's not true, because you're telling a story wanting people to believe it. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. There'd be no reason to do it. Oh, no, you're selling books and you got money coming from it. You know, they made movies around the house and she got paid too, didn't she? For her story. You think all those companies, those production companies didn't pay her? Nobody does anything for free, do they? Do they? Me, I think. I think I'm the only one, man. She's like, "But I know what we experienced." That's a narcissist. That's a narcissist. I know what we experienced. It's not we know what we experienced. It's not I know what I experienced. It's I know what we. So a narcissist will have other people. They will convince other people to be on their side so they can all gang up against their target, right? There you go. I was in a relationship for 14 years and lived like that. Yeah, I know, man. You start smelling that same old smell. You start seeing that same old apparition. You know what you're dealing with. She added that the Conjuring House is magical. It's a portal cleverly disguised as a farmhouse. It's multiple dimensions interacting simultaneously. All that and more. The Conjuring, that's a lot. The Conjuring franchise. All right. Warner Brothers released the movie inspired by the Warrens and the Perrins and the house itself in the summer of 2019. Guess who didn't get paid? You know, the Warrens made their money. You know, the Perrins made their money. It's just a house. Maybe they did some house repairs. 2013, all these years later, right? Audiences flocked to theaters under the premise of seeing the film based on true events, and it delivered. The Conjuring received accolades from audiences and critics alike, but it wasn't based on true events. You see, I like truth in media. I was on Facebook the other day. There was an ad for this popular, well, not popular, the ad for a sub company, a place that makes subs, right? I'm not going to say their name. Says, "It's the best sub you'll ever have." Man, is that a bold statement. Because I've eaten, you know, in New York City, we call them heroes. I've eaten heroes bigger than Superman, you know, and amazing. If you know New York City, you know you're going to get some amazing sandwich. There's no joke. Any city, you go, you think you're going to go in Chicago and get a hoagie, it's going to be disappointing. Think you're going to go in New Orleans and get a po' boy, it's going to be disappointing. Hell no, man. People are proud of their sandwiches. This is a sandwich shop that sells this, you know, these subs. I've had them a couple of times. They were terrible. It was terrible. The bread was dry. If the bread is dry, the sub is going to be terrible. That's all that there is. If the stuff inside is bad, the sub is going to be terrible. If it doesn't have fresh ingredients, fresh lettuce and whatever, it's going to be terrible. Terrible. So on Facebook, I complained. I report these ads. In fact, I report all of them as offensive. But this one was more than offensive. It was misleading. Then they took my little complaining thing away, man. Now I can't hit the button. When I hit the button, it just asks me if I want to edit. And I click on edit, and I try to edit their ad, and I can't do it. So I don't know what the hell's going on. I think I broke its brain or something bad. So the Conjuring franchise. So, of course, Warner Brothers got behind it. They all loved it. You know what I mean? When Insidious came out, it was successful. The story was about the Warrens, and they came to me like, oh my God, oh my gosh, this is really cool. One thing I had never explored was the chance to tell a story that's based on real life characters, real life people. So there were things that led me to The Conjuring that was explained. All right. While the director was excited to be part of making the film, that was the director talking, of course, he did not want to visit the actual Conjuring house when the producer offered to arrange it. Isn't that funny? The director of the goddamn movie doesn't want to go to the Conjuring house. Probably didn't have any time. Like, they're busy, right? Just because I make movies in the scary world doesn't mean I want to visit scary worlds. I believe these movies. I believe in ghosts, and I believe in the supernatural, but I don't want to go there. See, that's your first mistake in making a movie, that you have a director that it has no balls, that male or female, they don't want to go to the Amityville Horror House and do a walkthrough or whatever. And they should, because it would give them better perspective when they make their movie, right? When they're directing people and what they're feeling or trying to feel. So, the next chapter for The Conjuring House. As for those who do not want to go there, it's not always the reason you'd expect, in the case with the Hineses, probably. You know. We immediately fell in love with it, Corey Hines remarked. 8.5 acres, a river in the back, and a pond. It's so serene down there. Never mind the story behind the house. It's a beautiful home. See, that's nice. It's even harder to understand how they can disregard the home's past when they've reported experiencing such strangeness. But they're not disregarding it. They're not disregarding it. And what he just said, yeah, it's a sweet house by the river and whatever. Yeah. But there's more to it, right? The footsteps, the knocks, and the lights flashing in rooms. And when I say lights flashing in rooms, it's rooms that don't have light in there to begin with, but no evidence. Really? You have lights flashing in a room with no lights, but you don't have any evidence. Do you got enough money to buy a camera? You bought this mansion, this big-ass spread on 8 acres in Rhode Island. I know that wasn't cheap. We've had a few moments in here, and we've made us jump a bit, he adds. And these are, so keep in mind, these are paranormal investigators. They say that they're paranormal investigators. And they're, look, listen how they're playing it down. Playing it down. We've had a few moments in here that have made us jump a bit, he adds. We've had doors open on their own, footsteps, disembodied voices, electronic voice phenomenon, which is disembodied voices, and some awesome spirit box sessions, but no evidence. Nothing. However, the Hineses have big plans for the Conjuring House. They want to repair it and preserve it and perhaps shoot documentaries there and open up the home for paranormal tours and paranormal investigations. All this sounds like a perfect plot for a future sequel. And they have Andrea Perrin's blessing. They're mature, responsible adults, and they're not going to turn it into a circus. Too late. Perrin told all the local news outlet, they're going to treat it with respect that it deserves. Yeah. All right. So who's this Perrin, you ask me? All right. Let's go back to April 25th of 2014. The family that currently lives in the Harrisonville house depicted in The Conjuring says the movie has made their lives a living nightmare. Producers said last summer's film is based on a true story. What is it based on a true story? Oh my God. Based on a true story. Really? I don't like that. Of the Perrin family's haunted experiences decades ago. Andrea Perrin, who has written 3 books about the torment she says her family went through with numerous ghosts for over a decade starting in the 70s, says that the movie The Conjuring is a fictionalized account, but true in spirit, as to what really happened in the house. Fictionalized, but true in spirit. So BS. It's called BS. Our story stands on its own merits and was well documented prior to the release of the truthful memoir of fictionalized movie, she said. Documented with no documentation. While taping my first story about the Perrins book with the movie in pre-production, Norma Sutcliffe told me about some of what she and her husband experienced. Those were the current people who lived in that house at that time in 2014, right? What they experienced after buying the house in the 1980s. They said, we were standing here and the door began to bang, she demonstrated during an interview in 2012. But now, after the movie hit the big screen, Sutcliffe has backtracked. Our lives have been devastated by the release of this movie. The movie industry and all involved never bothered to consider the consequences to us, the Sutcliffes who live in the house. Sutcliffe has posted an hour-long YouTube rebuttal, an hour-long, if you want to go see that, challenging the history that led to the movie and turned their lives upside down. We began to witness cars arriving up front day after day, pointing at the house, of course, you know, because it's been popularized. You know, you made it popular in the media. You made movies about it. They gave out the address of the house, right? You know, they didn't have to do that, really. If they based on true events, you could do that on, you could make up any situation. Because they don't have any documentation backing up all these deaths, suicides, murders, none of that. That's all just hearsay, right? So they couldn't even drive down their own driveway without taking a photo. The movie has fractured for nearly a 30-year friendship between Perrin and Sutcliffe. But after many attempts, Sutcliffe wouldn't sit down with NBC 10 for an interview. How dare she? How dare she? Perrin said that she's sad this is happening. There are an awful lot of people in the paranormal community who are writing me and saying, Andrea, you know as well as we do, you cannot live in a haunted house, deny the spirits that you dwell, and blah, 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 right? You will never be free and feel safe and secure ever again. We have forever lost our sense of peace and privacy, and as long as we live here, we will never feel the peace. See, that's the deal, though. It's not about the ghosts. The peace is because people are driving by screaming out 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, same for the Amityville Horror House, man. I lived in South Amityville, and that was 1990, the late 80s, and I moved out of there in 1993. So, you know, I knew people lived on that street. I knew people in the town and whatever. You know, I got friendly with a police chief that was, not the current one, the one that was active during the murders. You know, got to talk to him about that. So, but yeah, you know, it was an easy house to find. It still is. They moved the stop sign. They changed the facade of the house, and they actually changed the address of the house. They moved the numbers over just to get people, to the point where people didn't drive by and go crazy. Amityville trying to get away from the horror house. They're trying to get away from the reputation. Meanwhile, at the same time, they're giving out permits so people can shoot there or shoot in the town and do documentaries. So, whatever. I love it when people say things that they don't care. They really have, there's no meaning. All right, this is the last one to read you. I got to get out of here in 5 minutes. Just 2 months after buying the real-life haunted house that inspired the scary hit movie The Conjuring, its new owners say they're witnessing unexplained paranormal activity, right? Which is like just, you know, so this is interesting. Corey and Jennifer Heisen, I told you guys before, who bought the historic farmhouse, they said that footsteps, knocks, and I told you all that, right? He also told the Sun Journal, a publication based in Maine, where the Huizens family is from, because this is what they do, right? They reached out to the Sun Journal, some no name paper in Maine, because they need to get into the media. They needed to drive the force. They want to get people to their house. They want to make money off this house. That's their whole plan the whole time. They didn't buy the house to buy the house because it was a nice house to live in. They bought it to make money. It's a business, all right? Business, that's fine. Admit it, that it's a business, you know? So they, you know, the door is open and closed and whatever, but, and so this guy says, I don't have the feeling of anything evil. It's just very busy, you know, which is basically what he said in the other thing. But these, so the Huizens, who say they work as paranormal investigators, admitted they are scared given the parents, the family conjuring is based on. So they're paranormal. They work as paranormal investigators. They make money as paranormal investigators, which is kind of funny to me because we do investigations for free, man. We don't charge people. It's just something that you help people out with, right? You know, we make a show out of it and whatever. If something comes from that, that's different, but we don't make money off that either. So it's just interesting how, you know, this is just worded differently, right? But, all right, so they kind of talk about The Conjuring and whatever, which is a movie. So these guys are referencing The Conjuring, a movie which was fictional, based in some kind of reality, but it's basically, like the woman parent said, it's basically fictional. It's a bunch of bunk that was made up. Those things didn't happen. So now, this couple says they have 12 cameras recording video 24/7 inside the house. So you say they, you know what? Right? As well as a potential future documentary. This week, the Travel Channel announced it will air a 2-hour special about the Conjuring House on Halloween called Ghost Adventurers, Curse of the Harrisville Farmhouse. There you go. It's magical. That's what Andrea Perrin and I read that. They got that from the other article, you know. So let me get down. Okay. Oh, let's go back because we got some lawsuits. Ah, come on, man. All right. So while all 7 family members moved out, this is the Perrin family in 1980, the house next owner, which is Norma Sutcliffe, went to their living hell situation because of all the people. And then they sued Warner Brothers in 2015. The case was settled out of court with a confidentiality agreement, so they got paid. And the Huizens actually want to encourage visitors. Of course they do. But in the other article, it said that they didn't. That they just got the house and you're going to do this stuff and whatever. This, you can tell this is written a little later, right? This is what they plan. They plan to fix up the historic home in order to open it up to both curious travelers and other paranormal investigators later this year for money. For money. This whole journey has been both scary for many reasons other than the paranormal and exciting all at once, Jennifer said. I love that we have the opportunity to share the home with others. There you go. I love that we have the opportunity to share the home with others. I love we have the opportunity for other people to come and put money in our hands so they can go into the house where their legacy is a bunch of children died. Or people got murdered, and this woman, this witch murdered somebody, you know, put a needle through the kid's head. Is that really want to be part of, man? I mean, I know if people are curious about paranormal investigations and all that other stuff, you have to be really careful. And if you're drawn to it, it's one thing. If you're doing it just to do it, maybe you want to rethink it, right? Because it might not be something you want to involve yourself in. These people, they're no babes in the woods. They know what they're doing. They got into it because of the movies, because of that notorious history, the Perrin family, that woman wrote books, made money from the books, eventually got paid big money from these production companies, you know? So you take it with a grain of salt, and it's like going into a battlefield, like going to Gettysburg or something, right? It's where people died. It's something that you have to respect, and it's not a situation where you can have people traipsing through, calling out, trying to provoke people who had maybe been in torment or suffered. So respect. And it all starts with self-respect. I'm going to end it there. This is me on Discovery Paranormal. I will see you guys next week. Maybe we'll conjure something up for that show. Ooh-ha-ha. On United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. I'll see you. Bye.